Andre Kreer is a friend. 20 years, huh, Andre? Ons het 'n bietjie ouer geword. 20 years of seeing his faithfulness and his passion for God. He's crazier today for Jesus as he was when I met him 20 years ago when we prayed together at 6 in the morning all over the campus for God's revival, and it happened. And Sonika, his wife, the two of them were in Tigerberg campus. He was a campus pastor here for a few years. He went 8 years ago. The Lord called him and Sonika to pastor the church in East London. They came there. One or two of the people were there. 15, yeah. Also, is Gerard and Linky. You were there as well. But there were about 15 or 20 people when they got there. And today there's a healthy church and a healthy region that he's pastoring and overseeing. And he's really seen God's grace really come to East London. It's a strong and a healthy church, a life-giving church. The Lord has given him a specific ministry, which I'm sure you can read about when you buy his book at the back. And as a church for the next 6 weeks, I want to invite you to join us on this journey. We're going to work through his devotions for 40 days. The books are there at the back. It's really life-giving. How do we grow in the grace of God, in the apostolic grace, in the pastoral grace, in the teaching grace, the fivefold ministry? How do we grow in the prophetic grace? How do I actually grow? And the book is a bit of his journey and their church's journey. So I want to invite you to get a copy at the back. If you don't have money here today, then pop in at the week and pick up a copy later. If you really don't have money, just tag the person next to you and say, share what you have. Break the bread for me as well. Let's just honor Andre. I know we don't always do this, but if you want to stand up and just honor, because Andre is not just Andre here. Andre is a man of God who's ministering to us. He's my friend, but today is more than just my friend. He's someone who really brings God's grace. So if you want to just stand up and honor him and welcome him. Thank you, Andre.
Thank you so much. Bye, donkey. Ek is eintlik Afrikaans, maar ek is nou lekker Engels aan die Oos-Kaap. So, gaan maar in Engels bedien vanoggend en it's a groot voorreg om hier te wees. Ons is baie lief vir Ross en Magriet. Ek dink julle het amazing pastore. En Ross is, they are widely respected in our church family. And it's just such an honor to be here, and I'm just amazed how Ross has embraced, you know, what God is doing in us, and just really amazing. So, it's good to be here. So the plan is to do three different sessions, all focusing on the hem of his garment. We want to equip you. I believe every believer. Christianity has become boring because the main mission is just don't sin too badly. You know, just be a good person. And it's just unbelievably boring. And so the last 5 years, God has really brought a huge transformation in my life and in our church. And so God is giving me this message about making his bride beautiful again. Making his church beautiful and empowering people to step into the fullness of their identity and destiny. So, been married for almost 16 years. Beautiful wife, son, 8 years old. Marriage rocks. It's just getting better. Amen. It's awesome. But I've recently, it is something the Lord has done in me, is that my marriage and my family is more important than ministry. If I have to choose, I'll leave the ministry tomorrow for the sake of my family and my child. You know, so I'm going to be sharing a lot about miracles and about signs and wonders and the kingdom of God. But if you want to know me, my heart's relationships. I actually feel, I told Ross as well, I feel that the things that God's doing in us, close to 1,200 people physically healed in just over 3 years, it's actually just a platform to speak about relationships, I believe. You know, God's heart is for relationship. He's a God of love. He wants marriages to flourish. He wants your children to flourish. He wants your children to love church. He wants your children to love Jesus. And I'm so thankful for what God has done in my son's life at the age of 6 and 7, having incredible God encounters, rocking his world. I'm thankful. We must transfer it to the next generation. Amen. So there's a reformation happening in church across the globe. There's a reformation happening, and I want to prophesy it's about to hit shofar in Jesus' name. It's about to hit this family, this church family. We're never going to be the same again. The Lord has said to me, I'm going to transform shofar. I've been holding on to that word for a few years now, and I believe it's about to happen. Amen. Let's say it. God's going to transform shofar. Amen. He's going to make us beautiful. We were joking this week in one of our meetings. We're saying, let's make shofar great again. Amen. That's a joke. Huh? If you don't like Donald Trump, it's all good. It's all good. But so I want to share with you, I'm going to take you on a bit of a journey. I'm going to share with you a few of the stories of the things of how God has been working in us, in my life, in our church. And I honestly believe that if God can do it for me, He can do it for you. Every testimony, every story I share is an invitation for you to encounter more of God. We don't live in a poor kingdom. It's not like God has limited resources. So, you know, when someone gets blessed, oh, there's not enough for the rest of us. It's an invitation for the same. It's an invitation for the same. And I've been seeing this over the last 5 years, basically 5 years that God has been working and transitioning us. And I still feel we're just getting started. But he's transitioning us. And I'm seeing so many other ordinary believers whose lives are being transformed when they realize what God wants to do in them and through them. So about a month ago, the Lord spoke to me and He said to me, if you want to move the mountain in front of you, you first need to move the mountain on the inside of you. If you want to move the mountain in front of you, whatever it might be, sickness, financial lack, relational problems, business challenges, whatever it might be, whatever the mountain is you're facing, if you want to move that mountain, you first need to move the mountain on the inside of you. Because that's what Jesus said. He who believes can speak to the mountain, and the mountain will move. But first, faith must be released on the inside. Faith. Say faith. Okay, so God wants to release faith. There are so many unbelieving believers. They believe, but they don't. They're unbelieving believers. They don't have faith for who God truly is. And so I want to stir your faith this morning. I want to release some faith this morning that we can shift those mountains on the inside so that you can start to transition and step into what God has for you. So my book is based on, and this basically this revelation the Lord gave me about the fivefold ministry. I want to put this diagram on the screen that speaks about the fivefold ministry. If you can put that up there. Thank you. So I believe there's a Revelation 22 speaks about a river. There's a river that flows from the throne of God. Wherever this river flows, it brings life. And then later, or before that, in John chapter 7, 38, Jesus says, he who believes in me, rivers of living waters will flow forth from his inner being. So there's one river, but I believe there are five rivers at least. My wife believes there's a sixth river, the river of romance. I'm still debating that, but it's a good word. It's a good word. But I believe there are five rivers or five anointings. This river is a river of life, the Holy Spirit, that's flowing from the throne of God. And then Jesus said, he who believes in me, rivers will flow from his inner being. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that inspiring? Jesus saying, he who believes in me, rivers of life will flow forth from their inner being. Rivers. I believe five rivers. You know, so often we put a limit on what God can do through us. We say, well, I haven't led many people to Christ. I'm not evangelistic. And you know, I've prayed a few times for people and they didn't get healed. So, you know, I don't have the healing anointing and et cetera, et cetera. Now, if we go through all of that, most of us will say, well, I don't. And the enemy has tricked us to look in the natural, to look at our past instead of looking at what God is saying. There are five rivers flowing, an apostolic flow. And what I'm doing today and tomorrow night, I'm simply telling you, I am a little bit deeper in the apostolic flow. And I'm saying to the rest of you guys, come. Come in. Come in deeper. If you literally just get into this river, this anointing, a river of life will flow forth from your inner being, and people will be healed, and darkness will be lifted off people's hearts, and they will be set free. I've seen this so many times. So many times, people would go with me on trips and missions trips. They know where they say, oh, there was a guy, I think, I don't know if he's here today, but they're back in Cape Town, and he's from this area, and we were in Argentina, and he told me, you know, I'm not so deep like you guys. Not very deep, you know, and so we're having a team meeting the afternoon, and I prayed for him. And as I was praying for him, I saw a vision of him going deeper into a river. And I saw him on the ground, just going deeper. And I saw him on the floor or something. And as I prayed for him, suddenly the power of God came upon him, and he went to the floor. The quickest fulfillment of prophecy I've ever seen. Whew. And he had a God encounter. That night, he was praying for people. And they were being empowered, they were encountering the living God, and they were being healed, and they were being set free. The guy that said that morning, you know, I'm not so deep like you guys, he suddenly went deeper, and suddenly the kingdom of God came through him. It's for everybody. It's for everybody. I want to remove the lid of your thinking today, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's say God's removing the lid. Come on, I need you to work with me. I need you to work with me that we can have a bit of faith in this place. So I like to do declarations. I believe you need to get the word of God in your mouth and declare it over your life. Okay, so five rivers, apostolic flow. So I'm focusing on the apostolic flow today and tomorrow night. Then there's the prophetic flow, pastoral flow, teaching flow, evangelistic flow. I believe if all five rivers flow together in the local church, you will have the fullness of Christ. That's what Ephesians 4 says. The fivefold ministry is there to equip the saints for the work of the ministry so that the body of Christ can come to the fullness of Christ. It is time for the body of Christ to come to the fullness. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so everything flows out of the presence of God. Can I ask you just quickly again to stand with me? I want to pray. I'm going to share with you about healing, physical healing, and the apostolic flow. We often do this. This is my favorite position. Open your hands. Why am I doing this? I want you to become aware of God's presence. So close your eyes. Become aware of His presence. Let your heart turn to Him. Because He is here. He is here right now. And He wants to touch you. One encounter with Jesus will change you for life. Father, in the name of Jesus, we welcome your Holy Spirit here right now. God, we cast off hopelessness. We cast off unbelief. We cast off the things of the past that put us into a box. Lord, where the enemy has told us lies about who we are and what we can do and what we can't do in Christ. Lord, we remove the lid right now. And we ask for an awakening in this house, a stirring in this place. Lord, may rivers of life flood through this place. In Jesus' name, may we sense your presence. May we feel your presence. May we believe with all our hearts. Let's declare it. I believe that Jesus is powerful and He's here right now. I believe we will encounter Him today for His glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. You may take your seats. So I want to take you through, a bit of our journey. So the first 10 years of ministry, full-time ministry, I saw two people physically healed. The one was me and Pastor Henny from Johannesburg, who's now in Johannesburg. We went to a hospital in Stellenbosch. There was a guy with TB, and he was really battling. And so we prayed for him, And nothing. Didn't see anything happen. We left. And then later we heard that Jesus healed him and he became a Christian and he left the hospital and he went to preach on the trains in Cape Town. Hallelujah. Jesus heals. One of the two in 10 years. And then over the last three years, just over 3 years, we saw close to 1,200 people healed. What changed? Well, primarily the thing that changed is we moved a few mountains on the inside. Lies that we believed about who God is and what He has for us. We moved some unbelief about what God wants to do through us. And just a whole bunch of wrong theology around healing. There's a lot of nonsense people teaching about healing across the body of Christ. So I want to take you on a bit of a scripture journey as well and just come and highlight a few things. But the mountain I want to move this morning is, it is impossible to know the will of God when it comes to healing. I believe that's a false statement. I want to move that mountain. It is impossible to know the will of God when it comes to healing. You know, that's why so many people pray, Father, if it is your will, please heal. Okay, so how's that been working for you? How's that prayer been working for you? Not very good. Hasn't worked for me. It's not a biblical prayer to pray. You never see Jesus praying, Father, if it is your will, please heal. He commanded, be healed. And they were healed. So, maybe just something else. In 2012, it's sort of when our transition started. And in that year, the Lord healed my wife of two different conditions. And two other people were healed. Around four people were healed. And it was huge. Previous 10 years, two. So four is a win. And so at the end of 2012, we were in a leaders' meeting. And the Lord spoke to us. He gave me a prophetic word. And he said to me, there's an outpouring of healing coming. An outpouring of healing coming. Trust me for this. So now I'm okay. I'm clueless. I know nothing about physical healing. I'm zero. I'm nowhere. So now we go to India, but I have this word, beginning 2013, we're going to India, and we're going to pray for the sick. I told the pastor, we're going to pray for the sick. So we have this little meeting, people are standing out into the streets, and it's like, it feels like a Bible times meeting, you know, one of Jesus, like there were not enough space for everybody. They want to see what's going on. So I preach my heart out. Jesus heals, I hope. You know, and at the end we say, right, we're going to pray for you, line up. So people line up. First one, wheelchair. I'm like, oh, Jesus. What about a headache? Come on, headache people. Where's the headache people? So I'm praying for the guy in the wheelchair and nothing. Next one, nothing. I'm like, this is going to be such a long night. And I'm thinking, am I crazy? Am I deceived to believe that Jesus heals? You know, the third person I pray for is a little boy, 7 years old, mute from birth, hasn't spoken in his life. And I saw my own son in him. And I was just moved by compassion. I was just, Jesus, if you were here, this boy would speak. And he was just standing. I was looking in his eyes, and his eyes were just dark, and there was like no one was home. And I prayed, and I spoke to the darkness on his soul, and I could see his eyes change. And then he spoke, and he said, Alleluia. Amen. Isn't that good? And he said another word as well. I think he said Jesus, and then he said, Alleluia. Rocked my world. I was like, from that moment onwards, everybody we prayed for, it felt like they were getting healed. They would tell us they feel this fire on their bodies. And where the fire was, the Holy Spirit fire was, and they would be healed. And deaf ears would open, and body parts were healed. And it was just like, yes, I'm not crazy. Jesus heals. And so that evening, we had a place we were staying, and I was like, God, this is so amazing. What do you have planned for us? I mean, tonight was awesome. What do you have in store for us? What gifts are available to us? And I heard the voice of God say to me, all of it. All of it. Everything is yours. That's what Ephesians 1 says, having blessed us with every spiritual gift in the heavenly places. It's all ours. And so the Lord started there, and I started to write down every miracle, and I started to count, because the next morning when you wake up, you wonder, did it really happen? There's such a contention for faith, such a contention. So I started to write everything down and meditate upon these things to build up my faith, every testimony, to build up my faith, to build up my faith, to keep on stepping out. And the rest is history, praise God. But the Lord wants to, He wants to lead His bride into the fullness of Christ. I mean, does Jesus live in you or doesn't He? Is it true that the Bible says, Christ in me, the hope of glory? It's true. But if so much unbelief that it inhibits. You know, if I had to look at the 10 previous years of full-time ministry to get faith, I wouldn't have any faith. I only had the word of God and the prophetic word that was released. Said, Lord, I'm going to stand, I'm going to step out, I'm going to trust God. It has absolutely transformed my relationship with Jesus since seeing Him work powerfully through me and through us. It has changed our church. People are no longer trying just to be good people. They're like, God, we want more of You. We want the fullness of Your presence. We want revival to break out. Lord, we're willing to put off the movies and the nonsense and the worldly things, because we want all of You. And that's just my mission. It's like, God, how much of myself can I surrender to You? And how much more of You can I have? That's the mission. Jesus came to reveal to us what is possible for a man completely surrendered to the Holy Spirit. He did not do His miracles as God. He did it as a man completely surrendered to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to share something about that tonight. Okay, I just want to take you through a few scriptures to show you. Okay, so my question is, why physical healing? Because some people think it's like a peripheral issue. It's not really a very important part of Christianity. Well, the answer is God loves people. He loves people. Jesus loves people. You know, when our bodies are sick, your physical body, which is supposed to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, becomes a torture chamber. It becomes a place of torment. You know, when Jesus walked the earth, He didn't go around giving people sympathy. He had compassion. If He had sympathy, He would have told the lame man, here's a wheelchair. If He had sympathy, He'd say, here's a crutch. But He had compassion. Compassion demands a solution. Compassion demands pressing in deeper into God. Compassion says, I'm not accepting people being tormented by evil or sickness or lack or anything like that. I'm going to press into God until the breakthrough comes. So my question to you is, how thirsty are you for more of God? How thirsty are you? Are you just existing as a Christian? Or are you passionately hungry and thirsty for God? I'm pursuing revival. Lord has said to me, East London, revival. What about South Africa, revival? Don't we need the fullness of God? We do. We do. The bride of Christ needs to arise. Needs to arise. It is time. Let's say it is time for the bride of Christ to arise. Amen. Amen. So Luke 11:2, Jesus teaches His disciples to pray, and He says to them, pray, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what is the will of God? Let it be as on earth as it is in heaven. Any cancer in heaven? Any depression in heaven? Any torment in heaven? No. We know the will of God. The will of God is that heaven would invade our hearts and lives, and whatever is in heaven would be on earth. It is His will to heal. It is His will to set free. Whatever you might be battling with. I prayed for some people recently battling with depression. I mean, the one guy, I think, was 3 years, psychologists, psychiatrists, you name it. Pills, alcohol abuse, messing around, sex outside of marriage, whole bunch of stuff in his life. You know, he came to church the Sunday night. The one family contacted me and said, you please need to see this guy, because he came to their house and he's a mess. I said, cool, I'll see him. Next day, chatted to him, shared with him the gospel, said to him, man, you can't live in sin like that and expect Jesus to bring light into your soul. Prayed with him. He repented. I commanded the stuff to go in Jesus' name. That same night, he went back to that people's house and said, who is this guy? He's a different man that walked into that house. Because it's the will of God to set free. Compassion. Jesus moved by compassion. I hate sickness. I hate disease. I hate demonic torment. I hate what the enemy is doing to people. And you and I are the solution. If we would be willing to make the necessary sacrifices to surrender completely to Christ, He will empower us like you have never imagined, and His kingdom will come. Amen. It changes the game. It changes the game. The Lord wants to reveal He is love. So how does this work? Isaiah 55 verse 8 to 9. We need to see from God's perspective. Just quickly want to lay a foundation in terms of healing. It says that my thoughts are nothing. Say nothing. Nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Assume you're not seeing it right. Just good starting point. Okay, I'm not seeing it because you're seeing it differently. Good place to start. I mean, how would you think about a man who is dead in the grave? 4 days dead? Man, he was a nice guy. Comfort the family, love them. Moving on. Jesus, He sees it differently. John 11, 3 to 4. This is Lazarus being raised from the dead. Therefore, the sister sent to Him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. This is before He died. When Jesus heard that, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. We see death, Jesus sees glory. Every miracle is a manifestation of the glory of God that brings glory to Jesus. Every healing, that's what Jesus said. He said, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? They saw the glory of God when Lazarus was raised from the dead. So my question to you is, do you want to glorify Jesus? Surely you want to. All of us want to. The biblical way is through signs and wonders. The biblical way is God is glorified through healing miracles and whatever other miracles. That's the biblical way. Go read the Gospels. Go read the book of Acts. God is glorified through it. So the Lord wants us to change our perspective. It's like, oh, awesome sick person. Yes. I'm like down when there's not a sick person close to pray for. It's like, oh, come on, man. Where's the sick person? We've had times it just feels like everybody's getting healed. Everybody's getting healed. Especially when we travel. Brazil, we saw close to 600 people healed in 2 weeks. 400 in the 1 week. It was incredible. And it reveals to me our God is powerful. So I tell our guys in East London, yeah, you've heard it said that God only moves in weird way off little far off parts of Africa. And I say, praise God, East London is a far off part of Africa. So He's going to move. He's going to move. So we need to get excited about problems and challenges and crises, because it's an opportunity for the glory of God. You know, we started to pray for my wife for healing of her skin. She had psoriasis. And at this specific time, 2012, we were crying out for more of God's power, and we trusting God to move. And at that time, her psoriasis broke out worse, like in 10 years. She would get up in the morning, the blood would run down her arms and her legs as the skin would break open. And it was an hour, and she would be weeping. And I'm just saying, this is for the glory of God. This is for the glory of God. 2 weeks later, she was healed. Doesn't always happen like that. But I was thankful. But you know, in my headspace is, I would rather die believing than live in unbelief. I'd rather be a man who's known for trusting God and stepping out than a man for didn't have faith for anything. I'd rather die believing than live in unbelief. Where are you? So often we give up. We tried. We prayed. Didn't work. I'm going to give you some keys, specifically tonight, about how to keep on pressing in, pressing through. But every trial, every crisis is an opportunity to get a fresh revelation of who Jesus is. John 11:25. I mean, there was a dead man there. Opportunity for what? To realize Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. The death was an opportunity for Jesus to reveal who he is. So whatever you're facing, ask this question. God, who are you going to be for me in this? What opportunity is this? I'm battling with finances. So praise God, this is my opportunity to discover God to be my provider. Change it on its head. The Lord has called you and me to be so confident, so joyful, so full of peace, no matter our circumstances, that we depress the devil. Imagine we could depress the devil. I don't know what to do with these people. They're always so positive. They're always so joyful. It's been said, you know, a pessimist is someone who believes the cup is half empty. The optimist believes the cup is half full. The Christian says, my cup runs over. I always knew being a Christian is better than being an optimist. It's biblical. My cup overflows. Psalm 23. Let's say it. My cup overflows. Your cup overflows. You must just activate, access it by faith. Your cup overflows. Look at this. John 9. Another perspective change. It says, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. Challenge. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? Isn't that so us? So who sinned? Who can we condemn and blame and judge? You know? Pile on the guilt, pile on the condemnation. Did you sin? Did your parents sin? But something's wrong here. Something's wrong with you. Yeah, that's how dead religion operates. Always trying to find fault. Look at how Jesus sees it. He says there, Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus saying, it doesn't matter. But this is so that the works of God can be revealed. And then Jesus said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. And then Jesus healed the blind man. You see, the disciples saw a problem, but Jesus saw an opportunity. Most of our breakthroughs came through problems. But I chose not to become despondent and negative and bitter or blame God. I was like, this is for the glory of God. This is an opportunity to press deeper into God. This is for His glory. Amen. So whatever you're facing, it is for His glory. Let's say it. This is for His glory. This is for His glory. But you need to change your perspective. You need to see from heaven to earth. If we see as God sees, if we think as God thinks, then we can do as He says. Amen. So we need to see it through His eyes and not through our own eyes. You see, God is not the author of sickness. You meet someone with cancer and they say, I don't know why God's doing this to me. Could I say to you that that is horrible theology? So God the Father sends Jesus to give cancer a hiding. And now that same God is sending cancer around to give His children a hiding. No, I will not accept that. I will not accept that the Jesus who went around, I mean, think about, go read the Gospels. Jesus doesn't go around looking little child and say, oh, curse you with cancer. He didn't. He came to reveal the perfect image of Father God because they were confused. They were looking at the Old Testament like, oh, I don't know what to do with that. Jesus came to reveal that our God is loving and kind, and sinners love Him. And He loves them. The religious Pharisees, with them He had a problem. Those who misrepresent Christ, them He gave a hiding. But when you and I, He loves us. This is a messed up, sin-sick world. Bad things happen. God is not the author of it. Can I have an amen? He's not the author of it. Do not be confused. Whatever you might be facing, God is not the one doing it to you. He wants to set you free. He wants to heal you. Amen. Okay, so I want to quickly take you through three things just to give you an overview of healing. And in Mark 16, 17, it says, "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." What is the sign of real faith? When can you say, ah, I have faith? It's when people are getting healed and set free through your prayers. Until that doesn't, you don't have real faith, or not faithful healing. And so the Lord wants us, these signs will follow those who believe. It's been said, don't follow the signs. The signs should follow you. Have you heard that? I agree. But if the signs aren't following you, maybe follow the signs a little bit until you get that anointing on your life. In other words, read, study, watch videos, get exposed to men and women of God who are walking in the power of God so you can receive an impartation. Tonight, I'm going to share about impartation. And we're going to trust the Lord for an impartation of the healing anointing. So healing, I believe, is at the heart of the gospel. So I want to ask you three questions. What did Jesus do? His three primary outstanding things that He did in His earthly ministry. Well, He preached the gospel of the kingdom. He taught about the kingdom. He said, guys, my world, the world that I'm coming from, heaven, my kingdom, this is what it looks like. And then He stretched forth His hand and He healed the sick and He cast out evil spirits. Then He demonstrated the kingdom of God. He first explained what His kingdom looks like and then He demonstrated His kingdom. What did He teach His disciples to do? Same thing. What did He say in the Great Commission for the apostles to do with all the new converts? Same thing. Okay, but I'll show you that in a moment. Look at this. Mark 1, verse 14 to 15. Just what Jesus did. Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." So He said, the kingdom is at hand. Quickly stretch out your hand. Okay, how far is the kingdom of God? How far? It is at hand. It is within reach. The kingdom of God is at hand for those who believe. It is out of reach for those who don't. The kingdom of God is at hand for those who believe, but is out of reach for those who don't. The good news is, even if you don't believe, I believe. So I've often prayed for people that they get healed and they didn't have faith, you know. So we never tell someone, oh, you didn't have faith. We don't do that. That's condemnation and guilt. And we just encourage people to build up their faith so that they can receive the healing power of God in their lives. So the kingdom is at hand to those who believe. Jesus proclaimed it, then He stretched forth His hand. I want to encourage you to do the same. Look at this, Matthew 8, verse 16, concerning the will of God when it comes to healing. It says, when evening had come, they brought to Him many who were demon-possessed, and He cast out the spirits with a word, and He healed 5. Some, 50%. How many did He heal? All. He healed all. Jesus came to reveal the will of God, and He healed all. There were times that He would just go through a bunch of people and only pray for one. But when whoever came to Him, they were always healed. They sometimes had to pray sin. They sometimes had to keep on saying, "No, heal me, Jesus." But they all were healed. There's not one case where they weren't healed, where someone wasn't healed. Revealing the will of God. Could it be possible that it is always the will of God to heal? We had a guy at our church. His name is Bram. He fell off a ladder when he was a teenager. And for the previous 6 years, had major back problems, major back problems. He had many operations to sear the nerves in his back because of the pain. He saw many specialists. He did everything you can imagine. So he's in East London, and he's doing his master's degree, and he's studying. So he built a special table, or has a special table for his laptop, lying in bed, because it's the only place that he doesn't have major pain. So for 7 months, he's lying in this bed. Only position that he doesn't have major pain. So me and a friend, we go to pray for Bram. So while I'm praying for him, I just realize there's no anointing here, and there's no faith. He has no faith. He's a very intellectual guy and doesn't have much, just the disease has corrupted his faith over time, or the pain has corrupted his faith. So I told him, okay, Bram, read this book, Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. I'm going to come back. Build up your faith. I'm going to come back. We're going to pray again. A week later, he says, no, don't come back. I'm not ready for you. I think about 2 months later, he's lying in bed. He's been reading the book. He's been building up his faith. And he's watching YouTube video clips of people getting healed and their testimonies. He says he's lying in bed. At some point, it clicked. Something clicked on the inside of him. And he realized it is the will of God to heal me. So he closed his eyes and he prayed. Say, Father, thank you that it is your will to heal me. The next moment, the power of God flows through his body and he was healed. Got up out of bed. Next day, he was pushing a car and he's healed. 2 years later, still healed. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand. That's a good moment to celebrate. So no one prayed for him. He just suddenly had faith, and the river was flowing. Faith unlocks the sluice gates of heaven. Faith unlocks. Faith connects us to the power of God. God is standing on the other side. He's like, I want to. You know, it's not only God's will to heal. Let me put it like, God isn't only able. It isn't only his will to heal. He delights in healing. He passionately wants to bless you, set you free, provide for you. He's your father. Last time I checked, a good father looks after his children. He makes all of his resources available for the sake of his children. God loves you more than you can imagine. He's not called you to battle with depression or insomnia or have stuff in your life that is stealing your faith and your confidence. He wants to set you free. Let's say it. He wants to set me free. Amen. The power of God can be claimed only where the will of God is known. The power of God can be claimed only where the will of God is known. If you don't know the will of God, you cannot have confidence. It's Russia, it's just playing roulette. You need to know the will of God so that you can boldly proclaim, boldly receive the will of God for your life. So you need to get into the scriptures. You need to stand upon the promises of God. So you might say, I'm sure someone's thinking this, some of the teachers amongst us, asking the question, so how is it possible that it is always the will of God to heal? You know, but we all need to die someday. Good question. Thanks for asking. Let me show you. Exodus 23, verse 25 to 26. This is going to blow some bad theology out of the water. Old Testament, Old Covenant. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Old Covenant, the New Covenant is far superior to the Old Covenant. And he says, I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one, say no one, shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. There's your answer. As long as it is God's will for you to fulfill the number of your days, as long as it's His will for you to fulfill your destiny, etc., you can boldly proclaim, it is His will to heal me. I will not accept a five-year-old dying that it is the will of God. I cannot accept it. 80-year-old, almost accept it. But I'm going to believe it's the will of God until destiny is fulfilled, until your days are fulfilled in the name of Jesus. And this is the trend we see right through scriptures, that it is the will of God to heal people, all people, to fulfill their destinies and to fulfill the will of God in their lives. Okay, so what did Jesus do? He proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom and then he demonstrated the gospel of the kingdom. He said, repent, change your way of thinking. Align your heart and mind with the thinking of God so that those rivers can flow. Okay, so that is what did Jesus do. What did he train his disciples to do? Look at this, Matthew 10 verse 1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Jesus gave his disciples hands-on training on what they will be doing when he leaves for heaven. Hands-on training. He actually, it's a command for us to heal. Look at Luke 10:9. And he said there, and heal the sick there. And say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Exactly the same as what Jesus did. The same commission, the same mandate. He's handed over to the disciples and saying, tell them the kingdom of God has come near. Heal the sick. Cast out evil spirits. Set people free in their whole being. Tomorrow night, I want to share with you about healing in the whole being. Soul, spirit, and body. And the connections between the three parts of our beings. So now you could say, okay, but, you know, Jesus was awesome. So everyone would get healed with Jesus, but not with the following generations, the following disciples. I mean, come on, we can't expect everybody to get healed. Let's look at it, Acts 5:14. Now, this is the original revival in the book of Acts, chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We see all five rivers flowing, the apostolic flow, the prophetic flow, the pastoral flow, the teaching flow, the evangelistic flow. It was just, the city was being turned around massively. And it says there, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, evangelistic flow, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Think about this. That like someone heard, put him in the shadow. He's going to get healed. Just when he's walking past, just put him down there. We've seen it the other day. The guy just got healed when Peter walked past. Isn't that amazing? That's greater works than Jesus. We'd never know about Jesus' shadow healing people. Greater works than Christ. Jesus said that will be. And so they were bringing, it says in verse 16, also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits. And they were all healed. Come on, isn't that good news? They were all healed. In other words, if the measure, the level of grace increases sufficiently, everybody's going to get healed. Because it's the will of God to heal. You just need to get in contact with the power of God. And everyone was healed. Imagine how our communities would be transformed if people would start saying, if you're sick, go to church. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be awesome? That's what I'm trusting the Lord for. We have prophetic words about Shofar East London of people coming from all around because they've heard Jesus is at Shofar. It's not about man. It's about Jesus. The invitation is for everybody. Everybody together to say we're going to pursue going deeper into these rivers of life in Jesus' name. I'm giving you an invitation to remove limitations, to remove the lid off your lives, off this church, and to revolutionize your relationship with Jesus, because you're going to encounter His presence like never before. You see, when you make yourself available, He moves. He moves. He's like, God, I'm available. You're going to experience His power and His presence like never before. So we in this church in Brazil, a church of 6,000 people, and we're having like, so triple service, three services, back-to-back services the Sunday night. And I think the two nights before, you know, the senior pastor, I'm now the healing evangelist from South Africa to come and equip the people. So now the senior pastor joins me. I'm like, man, now we're gonna show how you do this thing. Oh, it was hard. Didn't work so well. For an hour of zip, zero, nothing. Oh, Jesus, where are you? So now I was humble. Okay, Jesus, I know it's only you. I can't heal. It's only you, Jesus. After an hour, we started to break through and people started to get healed, but it was a tough night for me. I think the next night or two nights later, we have these triple services. And at the end of the service, these lines of people would just line up. I've never experienced anything like it. You know, you see what we are supposed to be is merely a conduit of living waters flowing through us. So when I pray for people, I'm just standing in the presence of God. Because we would pray for hours upon hours. My team would go, please, can we go home? I'm like, ooh, I'm happy. I'm having a ball over here because I'm in the presence of God. So now what we did is that my translator told me, you've got two hands. Pray for two people. So we started to pray with two hands, sometimes even three. So you would put one hand on the one hand on the other. I've never experienced anything like this. I would ask them what's wrong. They would, for instance, the lady would say, I've got a cyst on my breast, and she'd taste like big cyst on the breast. And she'd taste, it's there. Put my hand on her. While I'm putting my hand on someone else, say, be healed in Jesus' name. Power of God would come 30 seconds later. I'd say, test, gone, and crying. Next one, next one, next one. Third person, power of God comes upon them. They go to the floor and are delivered of demons and stuff. And I'm like, yes, okay. Let's go. Moving on. I've counted more than 40 people that we prayed for. One lady born deaf in the one ear. Her dad was there as well, 25, 26 year old, I guess. She hears. Another lady was in a wheelchair. She was brought in a wheelchair. She walked out of the place and the wheelchair was pushed behind her. And just amazing things happening. Amazing things happening. The one thing was one of the guys, there was a girl with a knob on her chest, like a protrusion, a bone protrusion on the chest. So they put the hand on this girl and they pray for her. Next moment, it's half the size. And the translator, I was like... They pray again, gone, completely flattened out and healed. Amazing things. The presence of God, the power of God just flowing through us. All glory to Jesus. I can't heal a headache. I've tried with myself be healed. Jesus heals. Jesus heals. We must just reposition ourselves in the living waters and we will see amazing things. So look at this. Now someone would say, yes, beginning of Acts. I'm speaking to the real doubters. I hope there's no one like that yet. But yeah, at the beginning of Acts, God moved powerfully. But at the end of the book of Acts, the power faded away. As if God lost His power. Look at this. Acts 28, verse 8 to 9. This is the Apostle Paul on the island, one of the islands. And it says, and it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went into him, prayed, he laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. I'm getting the impression they were all healed. Hallelujah. Let's say it. Jesus heals. Let's say it. Jesus wants to heal through me. Amen. Just last bit, I just want to quickly say that we're going to pray for people. The first thing is, what did Jesus do? He preached the kingdom of God is at hand. Then he laid hands on the sick and he cast out evil spirits. What did he train his disciples to do? Exactly the same. And what did he say in the Great Commission? Let's read that. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority, let's say it, say all authority, has been given to me in heaven and on earth. What does the word authority mean? It means the right to use power. So Jesus is saying, all authority has been given unto me. I have the right to use the power of God in heaven and on earth. And that authority I'm delegating to you right now. That's what he's saying. That was he's implying. He said, go therefore, because all authority has been given unto me, and because you are now going around speaking in the name of Jesus, be healed. My authority, my power. He says, go therefore and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. So what did he train them for 3 years? What did he teach them for 3 years? He taught them about the kingdom of God. And then he gave them hands-on training, how to pray for the sick and how to cast out evil spirits. For some of us, especially our Western mindset, some of us might not even believe in evil spirits. But more of the issues we face have roots in the demonic than what we think. Some of you maybe battle with insomnia and a spirit of fear. And it's not physical, it is spiritual. We battled with insomnia a while ago, my wife, for 3 years, and then a very bad patch for 8 or 9 weeks. And my mother was in East London, and she's telling me, because both of us were battling to sleep, and she's saying, you know, you're getting old. You know, you're like hitting the 40s, and you know, your body changes, and you need to make peace with it. You're going to have to use sleeping tablets for the rest of your life. I'm like, Mom, be quiet. Rubbish. It was a spiritual root. The Lord told me, praying for my wife for 9 weeks, that she couldn't sleep. The Lord told me, don't look for a natural solution for a spiritual problem. And we tackled in the spirit, and we broke through in the spirit. And she was set free. So a whole bunch of us are using medication for things that the Lord doesn't want you to. No guilt, no condemnation. If you have to use it for a season, no problem. But the Lord doesn't want you on the medication for life. He wants to set you free. You're just treating the fruit, but you must get to the root. Amen. Let's say, the Lord's going to set me free. Amen. I felt especially like people battling with insomnia, depression. I feel God wants to set you free. So how does healing work? We don't ask God to heal. We command healing in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 3, verse 6 to 8, last verse, and we're going to pray. The worship team, you guys can come so long. It says, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. What I do have, I give you. They had the anointing. They had the grace of God upon their lives. They had the authority and therefore the power of God. So they went, I'm going to give it to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You see, he didn't ask God to heal. He spoke. Authority. Every believer. The lowest of the lowest believer has great authority in Jesus' name. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he leaping up stood and walked and entered the temple with them walking, leaping, and praising God. Hallelujah. Command it. You have authority. You don't ask God to move the mountain. You speak to the mountain at some point and you tell it to move. So we were in we went to Rio de Janeiro end of 2015, and there was a lady that I prayed for. She had lymphoma cancer. So it spread into her bone marrow. She was going through chemotherapy. All her glands were swollen. She had the worst case. It's highly dangerous, spread all across her body. Her name is Josie Costa. So we prayed for her. And at some point I said, be healed in the name of Jesus. I rebuke, I curse this cancer in Jesus' name. And I told her, okay, now test. We always test. You know that, eh? When you pray for someone, you must tell them to test. Because it's a sign of faith. How do we normally pray for people? Oh, Jesus, please heal them. Amen. Okay, I'm going to walk away slowly. I knew it didn't work. I know it doesn't work, but I'm slowly going to walk away. So we always test. That moment of testing releases faith, and often people are healed in that testing moment. So I told this lady, okay, test. And she went to her neck and she tested the glands, and her eyes went big, like all the swollenness was gone. And she felt stronger and better. And I said, praise God. Okay, well, have yourself tested. About a month, 6 weeks later, I went onto Facebook. The Brazilians love Facebook. Promise you. So I was tagged in a post, and the post was going nuts. Like 200 comments, shares, unbelievable number of shares. It's going crazy. I'm like, someone's healed, but I can't figure out. It's Portuguese. So I got the translator to translate it for me. And that lady went back to the doctors, and she's completely healed. The cancer's just gone. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand for that. Come on. But imagine you have an atheist friend with cancer, and you could pray for them in the name of Jesus and see them healed. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't they possibly turn to Jesus when they realize how much He loves them? Amen. So I want to just quickly put on the four stages of praying for people. It's sort of a guideline. I'll go into it more tonight. First one is just to love the person. And you interview them. Hey, what's wrong? What's happened in your life? When did it start? Sometimes there's trauma involved with the stuff that they're experiencing. Then you just focus on the presence of God. You just release His presence over someone's life. You say, Holy Spirit, come. Touch them. And when you sense His presence, then you can start commanding in Jesus' name. And then you say, okay, after a while, okay, test. And then you celebrate the improvement. Celebrate the pain levels that have decreased. And then you pray again if you need to. You celebrate of improvement. And then you focus on the whole heart of the person as well, to prophesy over them, to love on them, to bless them. Jesus wants to set free. Hallelujah. Okay, please stand with me for a moment. So the purpose is to equip you guys to pray for others. And also to release a healing anointing, a healing river in this church, to stir your faith. You need to believe that this is for you, or you won't pursue it. Let's say it, this is for me. It is. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You, God, for Your presence here. We thank You for Your kindness, Your goodness. Jesus, You heal. You love us with more than sympathy. You love us with a deep compassion. And therefore, You've made all of Your resources available to set us free. So, Father, right now we pray for Your people, God. Whatever might be wrong, we pray that Your healing power would flow in us, Lord. We welcome this river of life to flood through this house right now. An apostolic flow, that Your kingdom would reign in our midst, that Your kingdom would reign in our hearts. I rebuke hopelessness in Jesus' name. We rebuke unbelief in Jesus' name. Lord, we rebuke the lies about our identities and who we are in You. And we release revelation knowledge of who we are in You and of who You are. Father, kingdom come. Kingdom come. Let's say it. Say, kingdom come. Let's say it again. Kingdom come. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands for a moment to the Lord. Jesus, we welcome your presence here right now. Lord, you said to me, revival is coming. Will we be ready? Lord, I pray that this house would be ready. We pray that this house would be united and full of faith. Lord, we pray for a transformation in our relationships with you, God. Where it's just been boring and ordinary. Lord, we pray for the supernatural to move in. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we declare this place is an open heavens. Open heavens. Open heavens. Open heavens. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Anybody battling with insomnia or depression, or you have ear problems or eye problems, one of those four, could you come forward and just come and stand here? I want to pray for you before we pray for other conditions. Any one of those things. Hallelujah. Let's just welcome the presence of God here, because it is healing flows from His presence. Tonight I'm going to share about healing flows from His presence. So God, we lift you high. Lord, right now, we thank you for a stirring of faith in every heart in this place. Father, we pray that every one of us would come to the realization that Brahm did. And he said, it is the will of God to heal me. It is. It is. I feel also skin problems. Any skin problems, also just come forward if you want healing in your skin. Hallelujah. I feel there's an ankle, one ankle or both ankles, sports injury. Anybody like that? If that's something, raise your hand. For you. Another one. Okay, just come forward. I think all of you can move a little bit forward, just to make a bit of space. Okay, the ankle, guys, do you have pain right now? Pain? You have? Just come stand over here. Just, if you have a little bit, come and stand here. Just want to, because we want to taste it. We want to pray. We're going to taste it and see if there's change. Hallelujah. Okay, come on. Let's just focus on Jesus. He is here. Let's just pray a prayer of consecration together. Just say, Father God, thank you. You love me so much. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on that cross for all my sin and all my diseases, all my pain. I believe that it is your will, your passion, your delight to heal me right now. In Jesus' name, I receive the healing power of Jesus right now. Holy Spirit, come. Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Just want to pray for you, Father. Lord, so we welcome your presence in this place. We welcome God the Holy Spirit in this place. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus heals. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You do not change. So Lord, right now we release your healing power over your people. In Jesus' name. Right now, let the presence of God touch every part of your body. Just as a point of faith, just put your hand, if you can, on the part of your body that you're trusting the Lord to heal, to touch. Just put a hand there. Father, Lord, right now we release your healing power. Insomnia be gone right now. We command insomnia, every torment of fear, to be gone right now. We send every evil spirit to the pit of hell. We command the brain, the chemicals in the brain, to be aligned, to be normal. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke every depression, every anxiety, every heaviness. We command it to be gone in Jesus' name. Right now, we command ankles to be healed. Ankles to be healed in Jesus' name. We command joints to be healed in Jesus' name. Any back problems? If you have back problems, just quickly raise your hand. Back problems. Okay. We have seen hundreds of backs healed. Hundreds of backs. So if you need your back to be healed, also just come forward. Or just put a hand on that part of your body. Father, we command healing to every back in this place. In the name of Jesus. All the back pain people, just quickly raise your hand. Hi. If you're standing there in the audience, the people around you, would you lay a hand on them? Just find someone with a hand raised. Stand around them. We're going to pray for them to be healed. So right now, God, we command back to pain to be healed. So when you, as you're standing there with them, release the presence of God over them and just speak to that back to be healed. Right now, be healed. In Jesus' name, eyes be healed. Ear conditions be healed. In the mighty name of Jesus. God, we thank you for creative miracles. Right now, kingdom come, kingdom of God come now. Our God is here. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Okay, we're going to pray a few times. I want you to quickly test, if you can. Test the parts of your bodies. If you can move those ankles, backs, move your back, bend down a little bit. Often people get healed in the midst of the testing. Hallelujah. I know some of the stuff we can't test, so that's fine. Just receive it by faith. Okay, Gideon says, you feel like the pain's gone. Okay. Hallelujah. Come on. Let's give Jesus a hand. Come on. Praise God. Amen. Lord, we receive. We receive. Okay. Anybody else? Back. Any change? If you feel this change in your back or any other part of your body, would you quickly raise a hand? I can just see. Okay. There. Over there. There at the back. Anybody else? You feel? Okay. Over there as well. Okay, come on. Let's give Jesus a hand. Something's happening. Come on. He's working. He's moving. Hallelujah. I want to pray for us. Father, we thank you for what you are doing here right now. You are moving. You are healing. You are unlocking faith. God, this river of life is beginning to flow in this place. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we give you glory. Father, right now we command healing to skin diseases. We rebuke skin diseases. God, we command restoration and healing in our skin. In the name of Jesus. Right now, we command healing into backs. We command healing into joints. Okay, if you can, raise your hand if you still need healing. If you feel an improvement, but they still need some healing. Quickly raise your hand for the backs, people. Just keep your hand raised. I want us to pray again. Can I also ask some people to come and join us with praying for people in the front? I just want you to go through the process. We're going to pray two more times. Okay? Because that's how you grow in it. Okay. So can I ask whoever wants to pray for someone, come and stand with someone here in the front. Come and stand with someone. Put a hand on a shoulder. Come on, we're unlocking a healing anointing here right now. Stand with someone. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, right now. Right now, right now. Just release the presence of God over them. Lord, right now. Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. So I'm going to give a minute or two. So pray for them for a minute or two, and then we're going to test again. Let's just join the band with that song. If you're not praying for someone, and you just join us as we just focus on the presence of God. Don't leave yet. Just stand here in the front. I want to pray for some people still. We want to pray for you. So the Lord is working right now. Let's sing. Say, she feels sinus problems. Sinus is opened up. Then the ear is went better, I went better, and she feels the back is also better. Praise God. Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hele baie dankie, Andre, baie dankie dat jy die Here se goedheid en liefde en vir ons kom leer het, weer en kom demonstreer en getuig het. Kom ons sê net vir die Here dankie, Here. Ons erken, Vader, dat Heere, dat Andre een getrouwe dienstnig, Heere, was en het ons kom bedien nou. En ons bid, Heere, dat U hom sal verfris. Seën, Heere. And God, we desire, Lord, to see in our lives, Lord, the power and the grace, Lord, that we read about in the Bible, God, that we see in Jesus and that we hear about and we see in Andre's life, God. We pray in Jesus' name, God, that we may represent Your kingdom well as we preach it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Dankie, Heere. Heere is regtig welkom.